Matthew's Gospel. I want to talk about the practice of Christianity. There is the life that we receive. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I am come," said the thief, "cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Then he says, "I am come that you might have life and have the abundance," or be abundant. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life." So when you believe, you receive. John's Gospel 1:12, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power," what there's right, exousia, "to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So, in the faith of Christianity, we receive eternal life. Eternal life refers to the indwelling of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made them free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, that was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son like a sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." But just in verse 8, it says that those that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. He says, if any has not the Spirit of Christ, it's none of his. But he says, if Christ be in you, notice what he says, if Christ be in you, he says, the body is dead to sin, but the Spirit is life. So Christ in you is called the Spirit in you. In John 14:16, Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." That's what is called eternal life. Matthew 28:20, "Teaching them to observe the things I've commanded you, lo, I am with you always until the end of the age." So when you see eternal life, and you see the Spirit, or the indwelling of the Spirit, we are referring to the same thing. In John's Gospel 4:10, when Jesus met that woman at the well, he said, "If you knew the gift of God and he that says to you," he says, "you will have asked of him and he will have given you living water." So when the discussion came about what the living water was, Jesus now went further to say in verse 13 to 14, "If you drink this water, you will thirst again. So, however, the well that I shall, the water I shall give to you shall be in you a well springing up unto everlasting life." Water, everlasting life. Later on in John 7, from 37, when he says that, "If any thirst, let him come and drink. For as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So when you read that, and then you read 1 John 3:24, it says, "He has given his Spirit." He has given us unto us his Spirit. God has given to us his Spirit. And we read that yesterday. That in 1 John 4:4, it says, "You have got little children and have overcome them, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." God abides in us by the Spirit which he has given to us. So when you say eternal life, and Jesus says, "I am that life, I am that resurrection and the life," you are not referring to a gift different from the giver. You are referring to the gift that that is the giver itself. So at the new birth, we receive eternal life, incorruptible life. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed, eternal life. 1 John 5:13, these things write I to you that you might know that you have eternal, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that has not the Son hath not this life. He that has the Son has this life. And the life is the Spirit. A life so called because God lives in us. Hallelujah. So we don't give our life to Christ. No. We don't give up. We receive God. Eternal life. The Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit. I told you last night. The summation of the reality of Christianity is that God is in us. God is in us. That's the summation. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you. And that also makes you in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the Christian experience starts with an incontrovertible fact. God in you. Those are truths that you cannot outgrow. You cannot outlive it. You know, you can't grow from knowing that you're a human being. I've outgrown knowing that I'm a human being. What else can I be? No. Every other exploit, every other experience, every other action, every other living right, living properly, every other thing is built on this incontrovertible reality. God in us. Christ in us. Christ in us. Not on a journey, but a permanent, unconditional living in us. 2 Corinthians 6, after he has spoken about not being equally yoked with unbelievers, what communion at darkness with light, or what fellowship at righteousness with righteousness, concord Christ with Belial, agreement, temple of God and idols, says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate unto me. And I will be fathers to, and I will be father to you, you be my sons and daughters and father unto you. I will, as I've said, I will walk in them. I will dwell amongst them, which was taken from the Old Testament. It actually is not dwelling amongst, like in the midst of people, but actually living inside. That's the promise. That's the promise. The fullness of time was come. God sending his own son. God sent his own son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. We might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Henceforth, you are no longer a servant, but sons. Hallelujah. So we being called sons is not where we are marking a register of son A, son B, son C. Oh, if you want to be a son, come here. If you are like a son, come here. We are sons because of his making. What he has done. James 1:16. He says, be not deceived. Beloved brethren, do not be deceived. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. coming down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Does that say every good car is from above? Does that make sense? Every good building is from above. Does that make any sense to you? You are not any, if you reason that way, you are not any different from a deer, do I call him deer now? Emmanuel, any of the delivered from the power of God or power of darkness, fame, a man who wrote a book in the ages, claiming that the beautiful things of this life came from under the water. And you see, intelligent Christians subscribe to such mythical, less than intelligent thing. Despite the fact that you're an engineer, you subscribe to the fact that that wonderful Ferrari came from under the water. By who? You are not told. The man believed it. And many read that book with fear. So, what difference does it make from the guy that believed cars came from under the water and you believe it came from outside the world? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That any gift that you see is good and perfect. And you say, what is good and perfect? You say, this car is good and perfect. Even though it's Tokumbo, it's good and perfect. So that after 1 week of use, you go for a repair or renovation. How is that good and perfect? Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Down from the Father of light. The same word he used, anothein. John 3:3. Born again or born from above was the same term. Good gift, perfect gift is from above, down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What is the gift he mentions? Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his own creatures. So the good gift and the perfect gift is the new birth. Good and perfect birth. That's why he says, therefore, because it's a good gift and a perfect gift, that is, it's a perfect creation. Just like Ephesians 2:10, you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Just like Colossians 2:10, he says, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, knowing that you are born perfect, he says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Therefore, laying aside all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. The engrafted word, what engrafted there, is to sow a seed to create life. Implanted. The engrafted word there, again, is reference to the new birth. Receive the engrafted word. What is the engrafted word? He just told you, in verse 18 and 19 or 17. It's perfect, it's good. You are born of his will. Perfect. 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 Just like him. By the word of truth, you are a kind of the first fruit of his creature. So, therefore, receive, accept these truths of your birth, which was able, past tense, better translation, to save your soul, because you are already saved. And be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Word hearers only is like somebody who goes to a cinema to go and watch. To go and watch. I used to watch cinemas when I was younger. Very younger. Remember there we will go to University of Lagos Auditorium. Main hall. To watch movies. We watch Adelove. You know Adelove. Ogunde. Why were we watching that? Because Ogunde happens to be my granduncle. We're watching. But over the years, I've lost such passion to go. Remember myself and my kids wanted to watch. They said, Daddy, want us to watch Superman. So they dragged me to watch Superman. I only knew the beginning and the end. Did you see that? Oh. And that was the last time we go on. So they said, thank you very much. I'm free. So, watching the scene, go and watch the movie. You are not part of it. Ah! Sometimes you even cry. There's one movie like that we used to watch in the 80s. Champ. What about Champ before? Champ. One guy, you know Champ. Champ, one guy that was trained to be a boxer and he won and he died. And somehow you'll be crying. Over what? Over something acted. Is it that some of us have abundant supply of tears? What can't you cry over? What can't you cry over? Now, it's not wrong to cry. When I was watching June 12th on Tuesday, and I was watching the story of M. Kabila, tears came out of my eyes because that's a real life story. And I know the man, and I follow his pattern, I follow his life, and I know the June 12th struggle. That's real. Real. And I cry. Says, he's touching. True life story. Well, woe betide me. That I watched something that even the actor did not cry. Because he knows it was acting. So he abandoned that. Be ye not hearers only, you only came to know what was said. No, there are some people that will come to your meetings to come and say, what are they even saying? What are they even doing? And hearers only, he says, deceiving your own selves, which is the word paralogizomai. Para means beside. That is to take account of or act beside yourself. If any be a hearer only, is likened unto a man that beholds his natural face in the mirror, and he goes, glory! And straightway goeth his way, forgetteth the manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, the same man shall be blessed, or he's blessed, in his doing. So there is the new verb where all the verbs are with God. He did, he rose, he raised of his own will, begat he us, he died. He justified. He predestinated. Active terms used for God. But if you are proficient enough and not deficient in attention, you will have seen that there are also active words for the man who is born again. So Christianity is not only what I have received, it's also what I practice. Doers. Galatians 5:24. They that have Christ have crucified the flesh and the lust and the affections thereof. Therefore, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There is a walk in the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a walk. There's a walk. There's a practice to Christianity. A practice. A walk thereby. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye followers of God, mimetos in the Greek, which means to copy, be a copycat. Be ye followers of God as their children, he says, walk in love. Colossians 2:6, as you have received the Lord Jesus, even so walk in him. It's what we have received, and there's also what we do. Because of what we have received. In it lies the active terms, the verbs of Christianity. It therefore suffices to say that Christianity must leave just what I believe to culture, a culture. The faith of Christ seeks to culture our lives. The world has its own culture. Different tribes and tongues and races in the earth has its own culture. There are some very strange cultures. I remember one time like that, we were going to do a mission work somewhere in Nigeria. I won't mention the place. And they told us that, if you are going to that place, the way they welcome guests is by giving you their wife. Emoji. Overnight. Not to cook. Overnight. There's a culture that if you reject it, they will treat you like an enemy. I won't tell you the rest of the story. You can be curious enough to think. But let those evil thoughts perish within you. Also, you have other places. A dear friend told me how they went to one island where if you wear clothes, they will throw arrows at you. So you go to do evangelism, sailor. You can now come to a conclusion of what happened. Not I, but you. That is culture. 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 People form cultures, traditions. In my school, a secondary school, we have culture. Culture, things that people have just gotten used to over time. That becomes, and at the end of your time in the school, they will say, do not just pass through government college. Ibadan now, precisely. Let some steal that phrase. Let government college pass through you. Let it pass through you. Basic things. That is, things you will learn. Before I got to the boarding house, I used to eat like it was Passover. Take some food, walk away, come back there. My mom had given me dosages of all manner of slaps over that attitude. You know, so I was used to eating food like Passover. Pow, pow. But when you go to the boarding house, whilst you are bringing out your fork and knife, eating time over. You just hear, mess over, pack the box, pack the, after eating, you, who is you among all these people? So I learned to move quickly. Quickly. You know the kind of thing you started eating before they served it? Culture. They have changed your culture. So that when I came back from boarding house, my father looked at me because he was also an old boy of the school. He said, I notice you don't chew your food. You sent me to government college. You are asking me why I don't chew my food. Said, I know we went to the same school, but I have changed over the years. Said, I'll change too later. Because it's like a race. They just say, the person will pray for the food we're about to eat. We thank you, Lord. Parang, parang, begin to eat. Imagine, they're giving you bell to eat. As you start to eat, they say, mess over. It's all for mischief. So if you are late, so there's some guys like that, while you are playing set, at the sports period, they'll just say, they're injured. They're quickly going to the body house, FFO, for food only. At the point, they said that, okay, let only those who are in the same class, GSS2, GSS3, be in the same, eating table. Then all sorts of things that happen. People will carry pots and be running away with it. Interesting days! But then a culture emerged. So you are now sharp. You wake up early. You do things ready, you know, quickly. Not in those days that somebody come and wake you up and be tapping you. Morning. mommy, I'm tired. What they did for us one day was that, you know, they gave us, they call it a week of grace. In that week, nobody will touch you. You know, you'll be saying all sort of things with your mouth. But I didn't enjoy the grace. Because the very first day, I had said something I should not say. So that grace was the law for me from the first day. But you see, after that day, you are still sleeping, you are waking up, and you are stretching, and all that. Then the first day, after the grace dispensation is over, you just hear, param, param. You think that somebody is calling for prayer in a mosque? No. The next thing you will hear is either Islam. Get up! So from that point, you knew that any sound that you hear in the middle of the night, dovetailing towards the dawn, is a call of the Spirit. So, I started naturally responding to sound, even till date. When I left school and graduated, I became afraid that I was sleeping past five. What's going on? Why am I sleeping? Is there just a culture. They have trained you to be like that. So nobody is without culture. Somebody somewhere, a practice, maybe the area you live, maybe the school you pass through, maybe the family you found yourself in, there's a culture. There are some families, a lot of African families. If they give you money, it is not yours, says the Lord. You collect money. I said, mommy, I forgot to tell you. Uncle, so far it's okay. He gave me 100 naira. That is what I used to pay. What you used to what? Ah! My mother would say, this is how robbery starts. Ah, robbery. Robbery again. He gave me, you say, robbery. This is how people start. Can you see a nanny? Can you see a nanny? No, nanny. That's how they kill a nanny. I said, what have I got? The guy gave me the money. Why is it? And you go out and they offer you something. The mother begins to look at you. No lambano. You look at, she has to say yes for you. He has this thing, I have it. What are they teaching you? Contentment. Self-control. Whereas, some are not so trained. There's culture. Practice. Something that, you see, habits are formed. Yes, habits don't just come. They are formed. They are formed either consciously or unconsciously. How many of you have observed that naturally, even if some of you might not fulfill it, you wake up at 4:30. Why do you laugh? Some, I believe very few, all they do is just call. Don't worry, you will grow up. Culture. So there is a culture to Christianity. The culture to the faith. That is what is called growing up spiritually. Growing up spiritually is not amassing Greek and Hebrew words and begin to quote the Hebrew of Hebrew. No. That is the platform for growth, but that is not the growth. The growth is when there is a culture. Look at what you are doing. As we are teaching, you are taking notes. It's a culture. Even if you are not writing anything, pretend that your pen is moving. I know people that they'll just be drawing. I love you. You love me. We are happy family. Either way, you are culturing something. Culture. Such that if you find yourself anywhere, I remember I was talking to my daughter, and she said, she went to one church like that, and she said, they don't teach. So what do you mean? She said, I don't even write notes. I said, They are just drawing something, drawing. They don't write notes. Notes. Culture. It's a culture that you are used to. Somebody goes, ah, what is this? Say, the service is over. What happened? Church. No, that's not church. Where I am from, we pray tongues. Woo! 30 minutes. Then you sing, not till the end of the age. You hear the word, announcement, offering, escape through the back door. No thanksgiving. No. You have done that in the service. No calling people a family day. No. Do that in your hometown. No. How is that church? It's boring. It's boring because you are not cultured. So it becomes boring. You are not cultured. I went to a church years ago. And then the pastor was talking. I was just trying to check the scripture. Everybody was up. I said, I can never remain in a congregation like this. He said, I'll miss the rapture if I'm here. What is this? They're not even checking what he's saying. Even if it's injection, there's a limit to reaction. Culture. And some guys will come. But a guy told me, he's a minister. He said, I like camp meeting. He came for the last one. He said, why? He said, that's like the kind of meeting I like. A lot of power. He said, when you came for the seminar, you're just teaching, you're just opening Bible. Preacher. He's not so cultured. Some guys, one scripture, two scriptures in the service, four, five. Just scream out from within. Is this Bible school? It's like a reaction from within. Ah! I didn't say I was coming to Bible school. I said I was coming to church. A mistake. What is this? What is this? Just say, yes. What is that? In fact, why are we praying for 30 minutes? I didn't say I was coming for a prayer meeting. I think I come to church. He's not so cultured to reason that way. You don't blame him. There are the things he has. Have you ever seen sometimes I write things on Facebook? While I was yet speaking, someone would say, thank you, sir. Succinct. What is succinct? In fact, I put out a post one day and I wrote at the end, stay faithful. And it was sarcasm. And the guy said, thank you, Papa. We shall abide faithful. Faithful at what? Did you not read what I said? He did not read it. It's used to A-G-Z. A, okay, J, or J, K, Z. I caught it. Because when you are not so cultured to listen well, to read well, so there's a culture to Christianity. Some guys will join this community church and they will run. Some will say, well, why not let us be open to everybody we are? But you see, just like school, you don't bring your knowledge to the school. You come to school to be taught. It is the work of the church to culturalize you. Allow me to use that term. To give you a culture. That's what the word does. We walk in him. So there's a practice to Christianity. Matthew 28:18. All authority is given me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, making disciples of every nation. To make disciples is from the Greek word mathetio. Simply means to
to make people, to be the one to initiate it, to train people, to enlist people, as it were, in a school. To enlist people in a school, to put them into training. Make disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe the things I have commanded you. Verse 20, lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. To train. And one of the basic truths of training is to give you a culture. The gospel, as we're about to see in a short study, the gospel is a message to be believed. Yes. But as we're about to see, the gospel is also a tradition. It's a message, and it's also the gospel of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. It's also a tradition. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. Paul says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. He said, keep the ordinances. The ordinances. As I delivered them to you. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15. The word paradosis, I believe. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Let's take it together. 2 Thessalonians 2 15, let's go. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Tradition. It refers to a practice, a culture, something handed over to you. Look at the use of that word from the four Gospels, Matthew 15 and verse 2. Matthew 15, verse 2. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus, saying in verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Matthew 15, 2. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Look at what it says. For they do this not. Tradition of the elders. In verse 3, Jesus now said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? By your tradition. Verse 6, honor not his father and mother, shall be free. Thou hast made the commandment of God no fair by your tradition, by your practice. Same thing in Mark 7, 3, Mark 7, 5, Mark 7, 8, 9, and 13. Tradition, practice, values, ethos. In Galatians 1:14, Paul refers to the tradition of the fathers. Same thing was referred here. And Colossians 2:8, traditions of men. But coming with the traditions of men, because when you see the word tradition, you think it's an evil word. No. It depends on what tradition you are talking about. Tradition here simply means instructions to follow. Practices that come with instruction. And so, in Corinthians 15, verse 3, or what we read earlier anyway, 1 Corinthians 11, 2. It says, the ordinances, as I have delivered them to you, as I have delivered them, that is, it's a tradition or a culture handed over to you. Given to you to practice. And he uses the same terminology, paradidomi. Paradidomi, I delivered them. I gave them to you. I handed them over to you. So this tradition is peculiar to the gospel. I gave them to you. I handed them over. 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves, watch this, from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which he received of us. You know that tradition he's talking about here? The tradition of walking with your hands. He calls it a culture. Remember in Acts 20, when he says, I have coveted no man's silver and gold, you yourselves know that with these hands, I have shown you by example, that is, you can see it. Exemplary. Practice. So he said, when you see a brother that walks disorderly, his quote scripture speaks in tongues, but he doesn't follow the culture. He says, don't pray for him. He said, withdraw yourself. So I say tradition. Tradition. That is a practice. A regular practice. In 1 Corinthians 15, he uses the same terminology. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Paradidomi, to deliver to you. In Romans 6:17, just as the gospel is, he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. The word there again is the word didache, a kind of explanation or a system of truth. Receive instruction, receive explanation. We are not meant to reinvent the wheel, that form of doctrine. They're not meant to reinvent the wheel. I told you on Wednesday that there is a system of truth, a way the Old Testament has been delivered to us, and we ought to follow doggedly how it is done. So let's go back to that 1 Corinthians 11. There's a whole lot to look at there. He says, to keep the tradition, a culture, a mode of thinking, mode of behavior, acting that I delivered to you. He says, but I have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, that's the wife,
and the head of Christ is God. This is the culture. It's not altered by a feministic thinking. It's not altered by a mode of reasoning. Don't forget, it says the head of the man is Christ. So it is not a dominance of the man, eventually is a dominance of Christ. Not the man being tyrannical as a husband. Whatever I tell you to do, you must do. That's not what we're talking about. But the lordship of Christ in the home. So we take our values in Christian marriages from Christ. As Christ loved the church. As the church is subject to Christ. What precedes the church being subject to Christ? Christ loving the church. So the woman who is a wife is not earning love. No. No. She is responding to it as the church is to Christ. It's a culture. So in other words, he builds the tradition which marriages to go after. He builds it on the truth of the gospel. So the gospel is Christ died for us. He saved us. He washed our sins. And we now build our culture of interpersonal relationships on Christ's sacrifice. Which follow what I'm saying this morning? The gospel, yes, the truth of our salvation, it now becomes the ethos that we follow. I told you, the death of Christ is not just for our sins, it's also for an exemplary living. Not just you. I'm saying for my sins. Oh, glory to God! Colossians 2:13 says, forgive one another, 3:13, as Christ forgave you. As Christ forgave you. Peter says, the man has forgotten that he was forged for his sins. So, we see that becomes a culture. So, this scripture should not be used by either to subsuming cultures in Africa where the woman has no say. She can't talk. She can't talk. She's put under the man and suppressed. No, no, no. It's Christ, the man, the wife. Christ, the man, the wife. Christ is first in the ladder of authority, then the man, and then the wife. Are you still there? So he says, I am giving you a tradition following after this truth. Christ is the head of the husband. Husband, the head of the woman in the marriage. Then he gives the expression of that tradition. The expression of the tradition of honor, submission. He gives the expression of it, which he now says can vary. He mentions the covering of the head with the cloth, which obviously was a practice in the city. In verse 16, after he had gone into the treaties of, is it right? Is it improper? Is it proper? He now says, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. He changes the word from paradosis to the word sunetheia. S-U-N-E-I-T-H-E-I. Or E-E-E-A, sorry. Or S-U-N-E-T-E-I-A. Sunetheia. Sunetheia just means an accepted usage. Accepted usage. Which you will find in John 18:39. When Pilate said, it's our custom that this time we release a prisoner. It's called in Nigeria, they call it, what's that terminology again? State pardon. It's a culture that during Christmas, during Easter, and during maybe the Muslim festival or something like that, the judge can walk into the prison and release a prisoner
based on a few things and all that. So he says that this is a culture that we have. Just is a lesser of a lesser weight that a practice, an accepted practice, not a practice handed over. So the practice of a woman covering her head to show respect to her husband will be a localized mode of thinking. And he said, look, if you have a problem with the issue of covering of head, that's not our custom. But we have an ordinance that says a married woman is submissive to her husband in all things. So whatever is not accepted in that terrain, maybe the way she greets, how she dresses, will now adapt it in such a way that it gives expression to this culture. The same way you look at respect. We are told to respect those who are over us in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. To esteem them. That's an instruction. How do you esteem? There are cultures, for example, where they call themselves by first name. But not Africa. Where you call someone by first name. We attach titles of honor and respect. So, sometimes the way the American man or the American woman or the European woman or the Asian woman will take a hold of these paradoxes in their own synesthesia may differ. But it remains that the tradition is to show honor. And that honor must be visible. It mustn't be assumed. In 1 Corinthians 8:7, he had used the same word. 1 Corinthians 8:7. For some, the consciousness of an idol practice. So, whilst we may differ in the expression of the tradition, the substance of the expression remains the same. Remains the same. For example, if you are told to be moderate in the way you dress, then we look at what is moderate in such instance. What is not flamboyant? What is conservative in the region that you are in? No, can go on and on, but that's not the subject for today. So, for example, we have an ordinance of coming together. When you come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26. When you come together, 1 Corinthians 11:17. When you come, when the whole church is coming to one place, 1 Corinthians 14:24. Forsake not the assembling of one another, Hebrews 10:24 and 25. From 24, it talks about provoking yourself, 25 to not forsake. You have read all that. That is, we do have a tradition of coming together. However, the question should be, which days? Now, whether you like it or not, an accepted practice where we are, that we meet on Sundays. Maybe in the morning. Some do their own in the evenings. The expression may differ. But the culture is the same. We come together regularly. It's a culture. It's a culture in Christianity. A man is born again. The next thing is that he joins a body of believers. It's a culture. So he must be trained, discipled, to see a tradition, a culture in coming among believers. We mustn't revise it to using tabs, online church. No. We mustn't revise that culture to the point that, oh, except where there's persecution and men are not allowed to come together. we mustn't revive the culture of believers coming together. That physical coming together. When you come together, 1 Corinthians 5:4, it's all over. 1 Timothy 3:16, 3:15. It says that thou mayest know how you ought to behave. A guy was telling me, he said, that word house of God there, I don't know whether they call it, how would they call it, gathering. It's not gathering. The church of living God is not a gathering. So I said, what is it? He said, it is who we are in Christ. We are the church. I said, talk for yourself. How you ought to behave, where? So he began to look at me, like Lukman. Behave where? Oh. You see what online has done to you? Online. If the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, that's why the next statement says, great, without controversy, or one single, undeniable, unconditional confession, great is a mystery of godliness. In other words, when we come together, our approach to God is from the incarnation to the burial, our death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Christ, believed up in the world, received up in glory. Hallelujah! A culture. We have a culture of coming together, not forsaking, assembling together one another as the manner of some is. We have a culture in Christianity of respecting that gathering. We respect the gathering. We don't get there late. So I say, I went to one church and people were rushing to the service. I said, what exactly is your problem there? How can somebody be running to the service? I said, do you run to catch the bus? Yes. Do you run to catch a flight? Yes. Do you even run to be early for an appointment? He said, yes. Do you run to make a class? To make sure you enter on time? He said, yes. Ah. So, what is the challenge you have with men running to make it up in time for the service? He looked at me. No answer. Just like the Pharisees and the scribes. Astonished. I said, this guy must be taken out. What is the problem? You only have a culture deficiency. You can't place value on that meeting. That's why you will come to service late. I want to believe that nobody here is being backed to the service. Or else you are not a worker in this community church. Where they are still waiting for you outside to dress up for church. And my eye has seen the glory of God in that regard. As a younger preacher, I had to go and visit every member of the fellowship. I sometimes will go and check on some people before the fellowship meeting. You start seeing them 4 hours before, knowing the nature of man. Say, don't forget to see your floor. I'm going to be there today. See, that's how you said last week. I know this week. No, I'll be there. I promise you. I promise you, fast. I even told my, you said, also, I even told my cousin, I told, don't tell anybody, it's you that they should come. By 5, you check him again. He's there. Then, 5:30, the door is locked. You hope in your mind that he's in the church. So you say, he has gone. You check this one, check that one. As you enter, you see 3 people, the regular 3. Where is Brother Sunday? You know, except you are not born again, you'll be discouraged. What is wrong with this brother? Okay? After you finish preaching, if you are not careful, you will be the iniquity of that brother upon those who came. Be committed! They are committed, they have come. You don't go back with anger, visitation. You don't see. He's not there. Say, he said he was going to fellowship. Which fellowship? I'm going to fellowship. He didn't go. We don't know. Sometimes they are conspirators. Don't be too sure. And so you come back, maybe a day after. Ah, I'm sorry. I was on my way. When somebody told me that one of my aunts, he knows the person is dead, fell sick. He knows the person has died since then. And I had to go there. In fact, that's even the Bible I carried. You don't want to say, why are you lying? You know why? Because this is one of the few disciples you have even kept. Even if to even to be lying enough is good. At least you are seeing the lying. Others have escaped through the back door. So, you should know that when you get to a level of the faith, they should not be urging you to come in on time. Don't miss the prayer time. Don't miss the teaching time. Run there on time. Get there on time. Get there on time. One day like that, you know, I was about to miss a flight. And I know what it means. So, there was a queue. And I was running. The guy said, it was not even in Nigeria. The guy said, ah, that's alright. Where you going? Oh. I don't know. I said, look, my flight is here. The guy said, okay, quickly, quickly. Oh. As I was even taking it, the guy said, don't need your belt. Go. Ah. You run. Because the implication of missing that flight is about $200. Calculate it. $200 of not running. And when you remember your account, you run. And you read the scripture, run the race that is set before you. So there's a culture of respecting the gathering of the saints. We must not allow these devices to bring impurity, defile us. The word is being taught, rather than taking notes, that you're browsing. Wow. Pastor is dishing the word here. It's not just dish, it's menu. What's wrong with you? Where was our life? Where we had a life before these devices. A life. Some of us don't do follow up again. We just call. How are you today? How is your Christian life? No, you will have said it's bad on the phone. Follow up means the art of follow up itself. The art of follow up itself removes that in that barrier of using a communication tool. The very art of visitation, oversight, episcopos, the very art of it demands an on-sight reality. It mustn't be revised. The very art. Because the essence of oversight is for you to have personal rapport with the sheep of the Lord under your care. While the phone can be an added advantage, it must not become the major tool of discipleship. I tell our pastors, some of you leaders too, be happy amongst those that you pastor. I thank the Lord for the privileges that I have to speak in different places and more to come. But I am never as happy, joyous, excited, fulfilled than when I'm here. You can hardly find me teach anything anywhere in the world. I have not taught here. You take it first. Not because you offer money or jets or lands and houses, even though you will. But because to me, you are the most precious. Give my best, my all. You will never find it. It's almost unheard of that I will teach in this church without steady notes. I pray more for you than for the nations of the world. You are the nation of the world. Because that is the essence. So when you see somebody who is more particular about what he puts out on social media, you are seeing an executive pastor. He's an escort. first. Culture. This community church, we teach for long. Amen? Culture. May war be tied us. May heaven reject us. The day we start having meetings and we teach for 30 minutes, we have lost it. Lost the blood of Jesus. Christ did not die for our sins. Culture. We pray for long. We teach for long. Everything long, 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 long. Such is the kingdom of Saints Community Church. If you don't like it, escape to the back door. There are mentors around here. Enter in. You are blessed. Culture! We have World Changers Conference. It's a reminder of the culture. If at all you have not dreamed during the year, thou shalt dream. You say, sorry, sir. You cannot bend down. The friend of mine said, hey, he looked at the wall. Can I jump this wall? Culture. He knew in Ephesus, when Paul arrives, it's evening to morning. Long, in fact, James looks a long speech. Somebody that writes eternal life, not writes long. Long speech. What was he saying? Go and find out. When the writer of Hebrews can say, I wrote this in a few words, and you saw 13 chapters. That's a text message. 13 chapters. Words that you can't even remember. You. Because a few words. Culture. When you hear the anywhere you are in the world, and a man is teaching the word, you bring out your nose. Culture. Taking note of what was taught. Culture. You are not biased in your mind. Taking note. Check whether it's there. Culture. So we have a culture of coming together. So the expression may differ. But the substance must be the same. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, he uses the same word. No. 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, which was the Passover. He uses the substance of the Passover to transmit a culture of serving one another. Lord Jesus, the night he was taken, he took the bread and broke it. This is my body broken for you. Took the cup. This is my blood shed for the remnant of sins for many. And he said to them, since you have seen this in the gospel, there should be a culture amongst you that those who have should give to those who do not have. Wait for one another. Do not eat unworthily. What is the culture? The culture must be a culture of service. One of the greatest truths about the kingdom of God is a kingdom of equality. It defeats the inequality in the system. That is why, if there's any trend that is so dangerous, very dangerous, is a trend where there is a class of people that are being targeted at the detriment of others. And a class being created in your mind. Some people don't want to go to a church that doesn't have AC. Yet in their entire street, there's not one single AC. The entire street. If there's any AC at all, it's on top of the house at night when there's no light. Yet they say, I can't go to that church. You know where they go? They are carried away by ephemerals. They want to take selfie, look good. Meanwhile, most of the pictures of the congregation they admire are selected to show a certain class of people. You are just being carried away. So, begin to distinguish class. A preacher once said, and I quote, Do you know why I give to the poor? To separate myself from them. And as he said that, the congregation said, "Woo!" And they were the poor. Something of materialism is that he takes away your reasoning as far as the east is from the west. How can somebody tell you when you give to him? Somebody was going to buy a jet. He said, God told him to buy a jet, but he was not going to pay for it. Yeah. But God now told him to tell you to give to him to buy the jet. That's interesting. God told you to buy a jet. Now told you to tell us to buy it for you. I will serve that God. It's very interesting. He told you to get a jet, but told you to tell us to pay for it. So I said, no, a man of God needs jet to reach the nations of the world. And they mentioned a particular preacher that he needs jet to visit all his churches. Fine. Don't call it to preach the gospel around the world. The places he goes to have the churches. The people who preach the gospel in those places, did they use jet before he arrived? Said no. Oh. So who preached the gospel? The people who went on Okada. The people who went by buses are the ones that preach. He's doing visitation. Those who suffer for the gospel are not you and I that enjoy the comfort that those who, in spite of the discomfort, reach their lives. Let's get our priorities straight. So, there's a culture from what Christ has done. Christ was classless. He brought equality to an unequal system. He mingled with the poor and the rich, made them sit together in the same place. So that the miracles of supply he did, many of you have seen what I wrote about that, was welfare. He had rich amongst his people, but there was a culture of not giving the rich any advantage. Welfare. It's not unlikely that when he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish, Joseph of Arimathea was there. But you don't expect Joseph of Arimathea to wait for 5 loaves and 2 fish and say, where's my own? Where's my own? A rich man. And then everybody's eating on the street. No. He will say, oh, the food, okay, I need some food. You take his family, they go into his chariot, sit down there, they will serve them, they will wash their hands and go back for the meeting. And Jesus never said, that is Christianity. No. Christianity is when the man that can afford that and the man that couldn't afford that is sitting in one place and none is giving any special prominence. That's Christianity. That's the culture of the faith. It's not wrong to put in comfort here and there. But when the comfort now becomes a culture, there's a problem. Comfort must never become our culture. Why? Because we are called not only to believe his name, but to suffer for his sake. Philippians 1:29. There must be a culture of inconvenience that we have imbibed seeing Christ. We see Christ. Even though he was rich, he became poor. And you, through his poverty, might become rich. It becomes a culture. We see Christ, God, and God alone becomes a man. And where was he born? He was born amidst animals. That alone is a message. Born to poor parents, a message. Never was he rich or had affluence. It's a message in itself. If you have it, fine. But it must not become your claim or acclaim. Because it's not in the culture of Christianity for us to make any claims in material wealth and prosperity. Can I have an amen? So if you join this church and you look for amongst us people that you think schooled in the United Kingdom like you or live in the US like you, you are actually a fool.
with a spiritual life to it.
There are those who joined this ministry years ago and were looking for people of their class amongst themselves.
It's not a bad ministry. So and so was born in London. That one was born in America. Their parents are rich. They were saying it. You know, they know the story.
I took one of them, threw her to Igondo.
You're here.
However, you go here. Rubbish.
No class.
You come here, you don't greet people specially because their key holders has no metal. That is the khakis. Sundae. Then you see the one that saunters in. His shoes pouncing like the prevailing of the gospel of peace. And you say, please, please, please move. That means your mind is in the world.
No.
Somebody came to church. He came from, I think, America as well. He said, I observed how you treat people in your church. How that people treat. He said, there's no class. See, that's why some did not stay.
You come from anywhere,
membership class, prayer group. There's no difference.
This thing.
A guy came, he's a judge, still a judge. He came, and I know him. He came to church, and all that, and I greeted him normally. How are you? And as I was doing, I was talking to other people. Bye bye. He just felt like there should be more. Is this your fault?
No.
There is an equation in Christianity that makes the rich and the poor comfortable. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is what? Exalted. And let the rich be humble. Let him abase himself.
I heard a man say this, preaching this, said, let the brother of low degree rejoice. I didn't know when he said that he is to be exalted.
He should rejoice. Because he knows this is not his last level. Alajimoidi. Don't twist it. He's saying, in spite of his poverty, he's exalted in Christ. That's what he's saying. Has God not chosen the poor of this world rich in the kingdom, rich in faith? Culture. What's a culture? So we have a practice. Don't let it just be church. Anywhere you are in the world, let that culture go into the way you live. Because if it's truly your culture, you will never see yourself after your pocket. Anywhere. So, we have our accepted usage and practice where we now choose to meet on so and so days. We can dress in a particular fashion. Not because we don't know fashion, we can have a culture of sobriety, generally. A culture of conservatism. Why? Except you are being mischievous. There is conservatism in Christianity. Christ was conservative. Paul was. The apostles were. One of the reasons why a man like Kenneth Hagin is a man that is after my heart. It's because of that conservative approach to many things. Be conservative. A little conservatism helps. Helps. Not just by dressing, it doesn't mean just the way you reason, the way you think. So it becomes a practice, a culture. Life now begins to follow that pattern. So, let me get back to the basic thing I said. There's a practice of Christianity where you begin to practice the faith. in your everyday living. Practice it. In Matthew 28, it says to make disciples in 19. We read that earlier. And the word disciples is the word mathetes. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. Which is not used again in the epistles, or it was ever used in the Old Testament. Now pay attention to this. Say it on Wednesday. The word disciples, therefore, will be an eyewitness record. A practical thing. Because all the accounts where it is used, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, were eyewitness accounts. In other words, they saw them follow and adhere to tenets. Discipleship is not just a knowledge written somewhere. It's a practice, a culture. In other words, those who were disciples of the Pharisees now began to take the law that they preached and put it in their lifestyle. The word mathetes is taken from another Greek word, mantano. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. Which means to learn. To what? To what? To learn. In Matthew 9:13, Jesus said, learn from this. When he gave the parable, he said, learn from this parable. Matthew 11:29, learn of me. Mark 13:28. John 6:45. Matthew 24:32. To learn. Paul also talked about how he learned, or they learned he was a Roman citizen, sorry. Acts 23:27. To learn. John 7:15. They questioned Jesus on what about the learning. So mantano is to learn something by precept and by example. To learn. The disciples knew to pray both from the teaching of Jesus and from the practice of prayer. Remember, he didn't just pray. He also took them to pray. A church is where they don't just teach you prayer, they now give you the avenue to pray. And that avenue, you will come back to them. Are you still sleeping? Come on, pray. Are you still sleeping? Come on, pray. That is discipleship. To teach and train. The word mantano is also used in Romans 16, verse 17. Very key. Please turn there quickly. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. Contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. So you learn it. You pay attention to it. You adhere to those things that are said. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6. I have a figure in it to satisfy the servant of Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you should be puffed up for one against another, that you may learn. So say learn. There is a learning to the faith. 1 Corinthians 14:31. They will learn, that you all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted by precept and by example. Verse 35, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. Learn. In Galatians 3:1, read it yesterday. Paul, referring again to the Galatian church, will learn of you, Galatians 3:1. That's true, sorry. This only will I learn of you. Receive you, the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of prayer. So it's an observation. Ephesians 4:20. We have not so learned Christ. We have not so learned Christ. Ephesians 4:20. Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have both learned and received, you've heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You have seen in me, do. Beware of a man who takes the revelation, as it were, of a minister and forsakes the manner of ministry. Beware of such a man. That's an opportunistic person. It takes, I tell people, if you want to know people that follow me, watch the meetings that we hold. Are they there? Precisely, there are some meetings that even if you are in ADs, you make it. World Changers Conference. You excuse yourself from ADs for that period. Go and come. It's a practical training. In fact, one of my friends who has been my friend for years, he came for one last year. He said, sir, anybody who doesn't come for this one does not know you. I said, well, I've been saying it. I've been saying it. The young man told me, said, sir, but is that meeting not? He was trying to say, I said, how old are you? He told me his age. I said, you were barely 2 years old. When they used to take me and my age mate to Fiditi for 3 days, I will be there eating twice to pray all through. I said, when we started this World Changers Conference, you were barely in out of your nursery school. It's part of our training. That's just who we are. Whatever you see, he says, do. You see those meetings? The person is not there. It's not wrong. I'm not saying the person is evil. There are some people that are just friends in the ministry. They believe what you believe. In that sense, they teach beautiful. But don't think they follow someone. If you don't see them sitting down like you and listening. That very act of sitting down and be seen publicly learning is the art of learning. Those who are following on Facebook, this is the website, fine. Some, because of time and of distance, they can't be around, no doubt. I'm not talking about that. But when you see someone that just takes the teachings and teaches it, some are even very dishonoring. Very, very dishonoring. They lack character. They'll say, these people, they don't do this. They don't do that. They are arrogant. And they will teach what you are teaching. Shameless. You take the content and reject the container. Only. So you see, the things you have seen, you learn. You observe. Philippians 4:11. Paul. Not I speak the truth of one, but I have learned in whatever circumstance I am to be content. That is, I have learned by precept and by example. Jesus was a contented person. I have learned it. Contentment is not something you learn only by listening to a series. You learn it by example. Colossians 1:7, we learned of you. 1 Timothy 2:11, that they may learn. 1 Timothy 5, 4:13. 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning. Never coming to knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:14. Paul. Continue in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned it. Knowing of who. Use the word learn twice. Precept by example. It's not just teaching. Context, pretext, context, context, phrases. Don't use verses. Use a paragraph. There's also a manner to it. In LMA classes, I tell the students, there is a style of writing. Remember I tell you that? There's a mode. There's a way they wrote the scriptures. It's not just everybody writing his own way. No, there's a way Paul wrote. There's a manner. There's a way they conducted themselves. Say, you know how we behave ourselves. It's a mode of behavior. One of the characteristics of a person following the doctrine of Christ is that you shy away from publicity. There are so many things that God has used us in the body of Christ, and there will be much more in Jesus' name, to do that you will not find our name there. When we talk in pastors, we say, well, it doesn't matter whose name is on it. I mean, so many. I've been to places, both here and abroad, where they say, we are using your material. You don't even know them. They are not on Facebook. They are not my friends on Facebook. Doesn't matter. You shy away from publicity. What are you looking for? Went for a conference where there were ministers seated. And then there had Scott Webb sat. Remember, two days you understand? Kenneth Hagin, Bishop Oyedepo. So they all sat down. And then they said, that's your space. I took a flight to the back. I said, we are not in the same category. It's not that if they ask me to share, I'll be shaking. But shy away. A guy said, he was calling me and Dr. Abel recently on national television. He said, for the particular television that is on, you know, all over Nigeria. He said, we want you to come and speak 2-3 days to be broadcast all over Africa and speak about Christianity in Nigeria. I said, you have given Dr. Abel that response. He said, yes. I said, he will handle the job. I mean, he has been in ministry long before me. If anybody speak about Christianity, he should, not me. Is it that I don't know what to say? Of course, you know I do. I might not say Christianity now. But there's just something about you running away from publicity. Tell no man. Jesus said that. Tell no man. It was when he was leaving that he said, go and tell all the world. They want to make him king. He ran away. Always, you should have an attitude to praise all those things that you are just too schooled in your mind. To start to rate men's praises. And I warn you, leaders and pastors. Times will come when men will start giving you an accolade. I deserve some accolade. You start feeling you deserve accolade. I've tried. After all the materials, I'm the one that put it out. After all, I do a lot of writing. The things that they write there, my name is not there, but I'm the one that writes it. Oh, after all, I teach too. And people say, you understand the word. Don't let people put you in trouble. Human beings are always like that. They like to sugarcoat things. As soon as Goliath was killed, they left Saul and went after that small boy. They said, Saul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. Now lie. David just killed Goliath. Careful! For men to start calling you things. A guy said, you have not been picking my calls since the last 1 year. He said, after you called me Paul of our generation, I stopped picking your call. I am Chris or Noinka of the generation. I'm not Paul. Stop saying those things. You have been mischievous for that. And that is how they will say it all over the place. Don't think you are the only one that praises you. You are only being fooled. You will be going around. Think of the blessing of you, sir. Think of the gift of you, sir. The gift of you. How many gifts do you want to take? Shy away. You learn. You have learned. I'll share some very personal things in the afternoon. Very, very personal. And I particularly want to share it in this conference. Hebrews 5:8. Jesus himself learned obedience. So this learning is experiential. It's what? It's experiential. It's experiential. You watch it. You watch it. You learn prayer. Someone say you learn prayer. Say you learn prayer.
You learn endurance in prayer. You learn giving. It's practical. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. That's why, because of the art of Mantano, you can write it, their disciples. You can see it in their mode of speech, in their manner of life. Some people attend this community church, they are not learning. They are hearing the word, they like it, but they don't learn it. Because their experiences do not match it. Come with all the series on walking in love. All the series we teach walking in love every year. My first pastor was 94. Wasn't my pastor. I pastored again 95, 96, 97. Him and out of, in fact, 98 was when I pastored for some people. The choir was about 100 and something. I can't remember the figure again. Three services. One was called teen service. So three services altogether. I started pastoring it April. No. January. No. February. It was in February before the church was committed. February 98. By May 20, 1998, I handed it over. And I went back to a fellowship ministry that were less than 20. So it's not today. Why? I have learned from men that I see. Men who have put the practice of apostolic Christianity in their lifestyle. That we don't hug glamour. We follow God in obedience. I only assisted them in that period because their pastor went to be with the Lord. He said, and I used to teach there a lot. So they felt I was the best person because their pastor was like a spiritual son. I said, no. I wasn't called to pastor it. Simple. Simple. There are some things you just know. A man who follows God also understands timing. 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 It's not the time for this yet. Sometimes the platform is set and the people are willing and they are ready. But the voice of the people has never been the voice of God. It will never be. Oh, we want you to, some people write us. We want churches here. There are many places in Nigeria and Africa that if we start churches with nobody coming from Lagos or anywhere in Nigeria, we'll have much more. Many places. Many. Many. In fact, there was a place they said they would gather together and they would just be watching the teachings. The guy now told me, he said, sir, I don't know whether one day God will lead you. I said, he won't. Don't pray about it. We have a vision. There's a plan of God. In spite of the things that happen afterwards or around it, you stick to it. So you learn it. Well, you see, people like Kenneth Hagin, who had the chance to go on satellite TV, he never did. He said, because Jesus told him, he said so, radio and books. Even though it became so popular, radio and books. They begged him to leave America to travel around the world, he never did. In fact, one of the major preachers in Nigeria fought him over that. Sir, we are set to host you in Africa. He said, God didn't tell you. And that's a strange thing. God didn't tell you how. This is where it's happening. God didn't tell you. That is Christianity. The culture of knowing the will of God and walking in it. It's a culture. To ask people, Brotunde, Pastor, have you prayed about it? It's not strange. That's our culture. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed over it? Say, pray over what? A younger preacher told me, I said, this one you want to, have you prayed about it? I don't pray like that. So I just do things. That's how I do in ministry. Why are people following that guy today? I said, this guy doesn't pray about what he does. He just does it.
I pray. Sometimes I'm slow because I have learned that by experience. So, mantano is to learn, keep hearing it, and keep acting upon it. You keep hearing it. False Christianity is to use Christ for my desires. How many of you had things you wanted to become before you got born again? And you can't forget it. You didn't have anything. Before you got born again, you only wanted to be born again. We all have, and even still have. But Christianity is not the means to get your desires accomplished. That's false Christianity. When you come into the faith, you now learn Christ. You now learn it. You learn Christianity. Your desires now start to align, or they are ignored. You start to subsume your desires to the word. Your life was going in this direction, just like Saul of Tarsus. He was going elsewhere. He met Jesus. He now began to pray. He wasn't planning to pray before. He fasted. He heard the word. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then his direction changed. The truth is, the gospel changes the course of our lives. It redefines our desires, changes our perception. We now have a new culture. It's something we now do every day. How many of you got blessed? Last night's teaching, Build to Last. Let me see that. Build to Last. Must choose to last. And one of them is having a culture to the faith. What you do regularly, you learn it experientially. Things you keep as a tradition, you keep it. Let's see what the things you have learned. You have learned to pray, right? You have learned to preach the gospel. You have learned to give. You have learned to humble yourself in spite of what you have. Let it not just be an inspirational action. Let it be a lifestyle. Reverend Mark Hankins told me something I'll never forget. He said, the more of the word you know, the more you defer yourself to others. You should just have that culture of being reserved, being conservative. It's not a personality thing. No, it's not. It is a Christ's issue. Being conservative, being ignoring limelight. Hallelujah. I was talking to some of my friends. I went to preach somewhere. And as we were going, there was protocol. As it's always, a lot of people, I said, look, I told them as we were going, I said, don't let us be fooled by these things that they are doing. Why it is true that they are honoring us. Don't let us honor ourselves. I said, look, if they remove the grace of God from all of us, we are nothing. We are not any different from these guys doing protocol. Paul says, I labor more abundantly than all the apostles put together, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So don't let's fool ourselves. And then we start to act this kind of respect. No. Why it is true? I told you before, it is not wise. I see some of you still wrote it in the chat. It's not wise to say, I know my pastors are human. That's a stupid statement. Don't say things like that. That can be of a blessing to you. I know my pastors are graced of God. I know that the Holy Ghost is working. That's what you should be saying. It is the pastor that now needs to remind himself that he is human. I'll give you this. Come, Samuel. This is the story I'll never give you. Come. Imagine. You go to office and your boss does like this to you. And then you also stretch out your hand too and do like this. You just look at you. This guy's crazy. Have your seat. Your pastor, I'm human. I'm human. Don't say you are human. That's stupidity. Say you are over me, Lord. You speak the word over me. You are doing it perfectly. Don't say, don't use your mouth to say, I know my pastors, they have their frailties. Don't say things like that. Let the pastor also not say, I am perfect. I'm doing it rightly all the time. Let him also say, I am human. Are you getting what I'm saying here? For you, it makes you able to receive. For him, it makes him able also to keep flowing and receiving from God. That's how it works. Each man must have a different kind of consciousness. A culture. Culture is things we have learned. We have learned to pray without ceasing. We have learned to be humble, to give. It now becomes a practice every day. That way I told you I will wake up at 4 or 5 in the boarding house. That way I told you that culture. The culture of laying bed. When I left home for secondary school, lay bed. Which bed? When I received 2 slaps for having laid a bed that had spotting waves. Who knows spotting waves? You know, spotting waves is actually a cream. Black. In the 80s and early 90s, your hair will shine like this, spotting waves. Some guys, no matter, even if they pour a jar on it, you think it's a shoemaker. A dentist laughter! She waves. So when I go home, my father has to make bed for him. Ah, you are doing well. You send me to GCI. No waves. You'll be walking. It's now a culture. But the thing about culture is that when you stop doing it, you actually pick up something else. And the longer it tarries, it now becomes your culture too. You can have a culture of prayerlessness. Praying only when there's a problem. You can have a culture of loose speaking. They tell you, you don't know how to talk. Say, they've always been telling me. No. You should say, it's a wrong culture. Because in Christ, we have not so learned Christ. We have learned in Christ that our words be seasoned with grace. We have not so learned Christ. Develop a culture of respect. You cannot find a proper member of this community church disrespectful. No. It is not so taught. Even if people don't believe what you believe, even if they are unbelievers, you have been so taught to be respectful. Am I making sense here? It's a culture. A culture of prayer. You go to Spain, you find yourself in Cambodia, Kenya, you find yourself in Ghana. You have a culture of waking up in the morning and praying. Let it not be what you do for Pastor Shane to see you, or for Brokola to see you, for Pastor Lyon or Pastor Wally to see you. No! It's a culture that you have imbibed. Anything you do for men just to see you can never become your culture. One day it will drop off. Do it! Because that's the practice of Christianity. Accountability, prayer, faith, acting on the word. On every issue. You have a need. Like God shall supply all my need. I trust in the living God. You have a need. You speak the word of God. You have pain on your body. You speak the word. I believe God for healing. I speak by God's word. I call the things that be not. And so they don't just be something we say in church. I'm the word. I have the word. The word says I have. No. Let it be a culture. That you respond to life by the word. Let faith be a lifestyle. I seek the word. Life has a condition that falls upon you. The word. Prayer. Be a prayerful person. I made up my mind. All the churches I've ever attended as a member. The only department I ever joined was prayer. All. Other ones I got to feature later. I would have done ushering and others, but you will never not find me in the prayer department. It's just a culture. Every time, everywhere, in every place. Prayer. 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 It's a culture. It's a culture. It's a culture. So, simplicity, culture. Simple devotion, culture. Obeying the leading of the Spirit is a culture. Don't be ashamed to tell people I'm praying about it. Are you ashamed of it? Don't be ashamed to say, well, that's not how I'm led. Don't feel bad about your culture. Don't feel bad about it. That's not how I'm led. I need to know what God is saying. It's a culture. Don't feel bad that you are simple. If I go anywhere and they are clapping and jumping, calling it praise worship, I don't feel bad not doing it. I don't do it. I don't feel bad. I don't feel like, is this, no. If I went to a meeting, after teaching the Nadi cultural day, and everybody was dancing for the people of the world, and for 1 hour, almost 2 hours, I just sat down. And I was better than me, I just sat down. And I was in my Bible. I can't be ashamed of what is true. I can't. It's when you are young and you are impressionable that you want to do things for accolades. I do it because I've learned Christ. Submission, accountability. Don't feel bad to tell somebody, I need to tell my pastor. At your age, why should you tell your pastor? Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Culture. Culture. So that when you now marry somebody like that, you are both like that. We need to tell pastor this. We need to tell pastor. It's because you are married now. The pastor of you. I'm not saying the pastor should intervene in your domestic affairs. Don't get me wrong. But there are things you are accountable to the pastor. Submissive. The supernatural is our culture. Hallelujah! The power of God. Hallelujah. We don't preach logic. We preach the demonstration of the Spirit, which is the power of God, 1 Corinthians 2:4. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man the promise for without 1 Corinthians 12:7. All this worketh the one and selfless Spirit. Divide it to every man severally as he will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Covet earnestly the best gift. 1 Corinthians 14:1. He says, desire spiritual gifts, and more so that you may prophesy. We contend for that. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Covet to prophesy. It's a culture. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in our way. Lord, prayer and supplication in the Spirit. A culture. Culture. Culture of the supernatural. We teach. We function in the supernatural. We have a culture of ministry and service. We serve. Romans 12:11. Be not slothful in business. Fervent in the Spirit. Serving the Lord. Pray for me and close. So we have that culture in us. Traditions. We don't esteem material possession. It's a culture. The moment we see a man preach, there are people today that I respected. I'm saying, men. I have a man like that. I had his 30 years in ministry notes. I was South Africa in 98. And I was given the teaching note by Reggie Wilson. And I devoured it. I followed the man so closely that he wrote me a personal letter. In fact, Brother Tokes will call it, you are this man's boy. As soon as I noticed that what my first challenge was when I read Midas Touch, year 2000. In the house of my friend, Tunji Ogule, someone brought the book and I had to read the book. In the bathroom. I read the whole thing. I was shaking, trembling. I just finished a series. Giving and receiving. 18 weeks. Immediately I called them to take away the teaching. That teaching is not God's word. And from that point till now, I began to discern people who teach gain. And that man, if ever I love the man, the culture the apostles have taught me make me not even listen to him. Painful. The others like that. Painful. I like them. There are some people, I like them so much because we all have sentiments. That even till now, I still do. But I don't listen to them again. I don't even watch it. If I see them on Instagram, I skip what they are saying. Because Paul says, withdraw yourself. The moment a man begins to preach godliness as a means to gain, let him explain what happened from the cross to the throne and back. I will hear it from him. Evil communication corrupt good manners. I'll respect him for the things he has blessed me with. Honor him. There are some people today, I keep writing about what they did then. That's all I say. They're smart, you see. But as of now, I can't so recommend. The apostolic tradition. Withdraw yourself. Romans 16, 17. Those who cause divisions contrary to the doctrine that you have learned of us. He says, you deceive the heart of the simple with fair speeches for their own belly. I'm sorry, sir. Not anymore. It's a culture. Service is a culture. Giving is a culture. Sanctified Christian living is a culture. Just that capacity to say no. When you see yourself suddenly like things in vogue, anything they wear in your office you now wear, there is a problem. There is a problem. Ephesians 5:16. I'll start from 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Saints Community Church, my dear brother, my dear sister, friends, my colleagues, associates, are you steadfastly holding on to the culture of prayer, giving, submission, humility, sanctified living, controlling your appetite, walking in the Spirit? Let them go beyond doctrine. Let them become your tradition, your culture, your practice. Things that if they take it from you, you are gone. Build your life on the gospel. Shy away from publicity. Know how to treat the praises of men. They never get to you. You have a culture of, a default culture of, if you are praising me, I switch off. It's a practice. So that you keep a clear head in all cases and circumstances. Bless this morning. You bless this morning. Let's start to our feet. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.